With you this morning, I invite your attention to the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2. And I hope what we discuss today will be an encouragement to you. It has to me. And, Brother Creed, I basically was getting on my message this morning. I kept saying, move on, brother, move on, brother. And, when he was preaching. But, it all ties together, and it should. It really should if we look at it in that light. If you're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ, it all comes together. I want to speak to you for just a few moments on the subject, preachers of the word. That doesn't mean that everyone else is exempt. It doesn't mean that if God didn't call me specifically as a pastor and a preacher and put me in the pulpit, then this message is not for me. No, that's not, I hope that's not how you take it today. In a real sense, all of us are preachers of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul told the church at Corinth, that because they were saved, therefore they had a ministry. God has given unto us the ministry of reconciliation. So with that ministry comes a message from all of us. The local churches are the ones who have the mandate to go into all the world and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So in one sense, we're all preachers of the word, but I know, again, I'm preaching to preachers, but this is something that blessed my heart and encouraged my heart, and I just want to share it with you today and hope and pray that it'll be a blessing to you as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 1, and I apologize for the bad hair. I stepped outside for a moment. I shouldn't have done that. It's about 50-mile-an-hour winds out there, so but anyway, overlook that and just look into the word. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 1, he says, "And I, brethren, when I came to you, came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God. For I determined," you might want to underline that word, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." Now, what's the purpose of this? He says, verse 5, "that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God." When you study the city of Corinth, you will find in many ways Corinth was the cultural center of the ancient world. It really was. But yet when you read the letters of the Apostle Paul to the church at Corinth, you'll be surprised to discover that Paul made no mention whatsoever of its culture, of the city. He made no mention of the artistic achievements there in the city of Corinth. You see, when Paul came to Corinth, he didn't come there to add to its culture. He didn't come there to enhance its philosophy. He came preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, Paul's purpose was not to be a sightseer. Paul's purpose was to be a soul winner when he came to that city. He was not interested in being a philosopher. He was interested in being a preacher. And in verse 1, he tells us, "I came declaring unto you the testimony of God." Brethren, all of God's people should declare that testimony. "I came to you declaring the testimony of God." In other words, Paul came preaching. He came preaching. I love that. Preachers should love that. That's what God's called us to do, is to preach His word. His word to young Timothy was what? Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all long suffering and doctrine. Just simply do what God has called you to do. And I think here in this passage today, there's three things that I think just kind of jump out to me, stand out in this passage as he's speaking to this church. He's talking about the power and the passion and the purpose of a preacher. And he just lays his heart bare in this passage. It's one of those few passages where he just basically tells them what the situation was when he came there. "This is what I was going through. This is what I was feeling. This was my emotional needs and spiritual needs and physical situation." And he just lays it out. But yet he also lays out how the Lord blessed and tremendously in this passage. First of all, I want you to notice the preacher's passion. I believe we all should have a passion when it comes to preaching the Word of God, don't you? Passion is something that is important. And I'm not talking about theatrics. I'm talking about passion. I'm talking about a passion that just comes from the heart, leaps from the Word of God, leaps into our hearts and minds, and then carried out to a lost and dying world. Notice in verse 1, he says, "When I came to you, I came not with excellency of speech or of wisdom, declaring unto you the testimony of God." Here was a man who preached with passion. He was a preacher that preached with heart. He had his heart in what he was doing. That's simply what passion is. He had his heart in what he was doing. And I believe that Paul preached when he preached, that he preached with thunder and he preached with lightning. Here was a man who could not resist preaching. Now you say, how do you know that? Well, because he tells us later on in this book, he tells us, "Woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Here was a man that God had called to preach His precious Word. You see, I really believe that a man who understands the gospel, who has experienced the life-changing power of the Lord Jesus in his own heart, and understands that everyone, everywhere needs that same message, that person cannot avoid the passion that is involved in a gospel witness. And we all should have that passion. You see, Paul had a passion to tell the gospel. Now, how did he tell it? Well, he tells us here a couple of things. Number one, when he preached, when he taught, he told it simply. It was just a simple message. Notice he says he didn't come with excellency of speech. That doesn't mean he couldn't have. That just means that's not how he came. He says, "I didn't come with excellency of speech. I didn't come with wisdom." He's talking about man's wisdom there. You got to understand there at Corinth, that was the philosophy capital, there of the world. That's all they wanted to do was, talk about philosophy and culture and all that. He says, "That's not how I came to you." Corinth was very famous for its speakers. It was very famous for its orators, And here were men that came to Corinth and they could shake and they could move and they could stir audiences with flowers. Speech and with oratory skills. I believe the Apostle Paul could have stood with the best of them. I really do. I believe he could have absolutely moved an audience with the powers of oratory. I really do. But yet he said, "I want you to know that when I came to you, that's not how I came." He was preaching the gospel simply. I believe if we're not careful, sometimes we can adorn the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ to the point where it obscures its meaning. You know what I mean? To try to impress people with our skills and all that. Paul could have, he says, but that's not what we need to do. He says, "I didn't come that way. I came preaching the gospel simply." By the way, brethren, you don't have to have flowery speech and human eloquence in order to make the gospel effective. You don't have to have, now again, I'm not saying that a preacher shouldn't be educated. I'm not saying that a preacher shouldn't learn and grow. That's not what I'm talking about. But the power is in the message, not the messenger. Amen. That's what he wanted, this church. And I think that's what every preacher needs to understand today. The power is in the message. And Brother Creed was talking about how just going and sharing the gospel with people and just to see how the Lord brought them to saving faith. Why is that? Because the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Brethren, we're talking about something that it doesn't just make bad people better. It makes dead people alive. Amen. That's power. That's power. And so Paul says, when I came, he says, I came and I didn't use man's wisdom. I didn't use all of that. He said, I just shared it simply, but he also shared it exclusively. He had one message when he came. Look at verse 2. He says, "For I determined," and I love that word, "I determined not to know anything among you save Jesus Christ and Him crucified." Now there's a little bit of background here that I think will help you understand what he's talking about here in this passage. If you remember just prior to his visit to Corinth, you'll notice, remember that he preached in Athens, okay? And you go back to Acts chapter 16, 17, and if you know anything about Athens, you know that it was the intellectual center of the world. Really, it was, and Brother Creed mentioned that this morning, how it was basically the philosophy capital, and people came around, and all they wanted to do was to hear and know some new thing, and they didn't care who it was, or what it was. They just wanted to hear it, and that's where they were. And so Paul went there, and he met them on their own turf. I love when you go back and read Acts chapter 17. You remember that and that wonderful sermon that he preached on the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he took that from the thought of the unknown God, you know. That's when I kept saying, Brother Creed, move on, move on, move on, you know, this morning. You know what they did when he preached? The Bible says they laughed at him. The Bible says they mocked him. Now, thank God there were some that believed. Amen. Okay? But they laughed and they mocked. I don't know about you, but I don't like to be laughed at. I don't like to be mocked. I don't think anyone does. Do you believe that? I really don't, especially a preacher. I mean, nobody likes to be made fun of, you know, when they're doing simply what God's called them to do. One preacher said the most effective tool of the devil is to try to laugh you out of your faith. There's a lot of truth to that. That's what he'll try to do, to laugh you out of your faith and cause you to be intimidated because of your faith. Well, it was a 50-mile journey on foot from Athens to Corinth. And Paul was wrestling with all of this on his way to Corinth. And I'm sure that he wrestled in his own mind, maybe the intimidation of the devil as well. All of this was just weighing heavy on Paul. But in our text in verse 2, he used a very definite word. And he said, for I determined. You see, these were things he was wrestling with. He says, but along the way, he said, I determined. He had come to a settled conviction after very careful consideration. There was one thing that his mind basically was settled on. He had thought the matter over. He had considered all the options. He had looked at all the alternatives. And he made up his mind that he was going to preach one message. And that message was Jesus Christ and Him crucified. My friend, that's where the power's at. That's where the power's at. That should be our decision today in preaching with preachers. Stick with the old time gospel of the Lord Jesus. I'll be honest with you today, I'm not impressed with this new time gospel stuff. I'm not impressed with all these new approaches and all. I'm not saying that we, you know, please don't get me wrong, and I hope that it's not offensive to anybody. Listen, we need to preach Jesus. Amen. Preach His cross. That's where the power's at. That's where the power's at. The cross is a message of power. You know, the cross is a message, like I said earlier, it doesn't make bad people better. It makes dead people alive. That's a powerful, powerful thing. You see, it all comes together at the cross. It's all about the cross. The preaching of the cross converts the sinner. The preaching of the cross consecrates the saint. The preaching of the cross comforts the sufferer. The cross. Paul said, that's what I'm going to preach. He preached it simply. He preached it exclusively. He also preached it very humbly. Notice in verse 3, he says, I love this verse. He says, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling. You say, no, wait a minute. Is this the giant missionary? Yeah. Is this the spiritual apostle Paul? Yes. He says that when I came to you, that was the shape I was in. And he was a man. Yes, he was a sinner saved by the grace of God. He was a man and he struggled with these same issues that we struggle with today. In other words, what he's saying is, I was far from strong. I was nervous. I was shaky. That's how I was when I came to you. Hey, let me ask you, you ever been that way? I'm glad that I'm not preaching behind an acrylic pulpit today. Amen. I've been preaching for 27 years now. And I tell you, I remember one time in our seminary, I asked one of our instructors, I think I was a first or second year student, and he was the president of the school, and he was probably in his upper 70s at the time. And I asked him, I said, Brother Don, I said, at what point in your ministry do you get up there and you're just not so nervous? He said, son, you're going to have to ask somebody older than me. You know? He said, I'd be concerned about you if you weren't. You know what I mean? Well, I tell you what, the knees start knocking, and you say, well, you've been doing this a long time. Y'all, I'm telling you, it's intimidating in a way. He says, when I came to you, I was in weakness. He says, that's my physical condition. He says, when I was in fear, that was my mental condition. He says, in much trembling, that's my emotional condition. This was a thing that affected him to his core. But he understood the absolute overwhelming nature of his task. And that is to preach the Word of God. I don't think there's anybody that's ever preached who hasn't felt that same way. And that's what Paul's talking about. I don't think there's anybody who's ever tried to witness to somebody or tell that person about the Lord Jesus who hasn't felt a sense of inadequacy. Do you know what I mean? That fear and trembling and who am I, you know, to tell. But you see his passion. And he says it's so important to have that passion. But secondly, I want you to notice not only his passion, but his power. Look at verse 4. He says, "And my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power." You see, it wasn't his wisdom, it wasn't his power, it was the power of the Holy Spirit of God in his life. In other words, there was persuasion in Paul's preaching. But he's saying, that didn't come from me. That wasn't mine. There was spirit, there was power there in his preaching. Oh, how we need the power of God upon our lives and in our preaching today. Listen, the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that's what it's all about. That's really what it's all about. The Holy Spirit is the key ingredient that can take the simple words of a believer and use those words with convicting power on human hearts. I heard a story once about a young preacher. He was, he was a young man raised in a preacher's home in a rural community in the South. His dad was a rural preacher for many, many years. Well, eventually the Lord called his son to preach, and he went into the city, you know. He was finally pastoring there, a college town, you know, and just a lot of professional people there in the town. And after a few months, he came back to visit his dad, and he said, "Dad, there's something I want to talk to you about." He said, "You know," he said, "when I get up in the pulpit and I preach," he said, "sometimes I want to say something about the English language, you know, or whatever. And I look out there, and there's the English professor." He said, "And I want to say something about mathematics," and I look out there and there's the math professor. He said, "I want to say something about, you know, creation or you know, whatever." And you know, he said, "I look out there and, you know, or English language, whatever, there's the English professor." You know, he said, "Anytime I try to approach angles like that, there's people out there that are more learned than I am." And the wise old father told him, he said, "Son, why don't you just get up there and preach the simple gospel in the power of the Holy Spirit?" He said, "They probably know very little about that." Amen? That's exactly what we should do today. The power. Listen, friend, the gospel's not something that really needs defending. It's like one preacher said, it's like a lion in a cage. All you got to do is open the cage. It'll defend itself. Amen? It means what it says, and it says what it means. Let the chips fall where they may. Right? I'm telling you, friend, power. And again, it's a wonderful thing to see the power of God in preaching today. A few years ago, I was at a meeting, and a man was preaching on, one of our preachers was preaching on tithing. You know, Baptist's favorite subject, you know, tithing. And this was in revival. And his subject was on tithing. I thought, that's interesting. I'm just sitting there as an observer in the pew, and I thought, man, that's an interesting subject. I've never preached on tithing in a revival service, you know. But bless your heart, at the end of the service, when the invitation was given, a man walked the aisle and got saved. Amen. And I sat there. Now listen, for a moment, I thought, how did he get that? You know? I mean, he wasn't preaching on, he was preaching on tithing. It was a wonderful message on tithing. You know, and just being stewards of what God is put in our, you know, into our place. And I was sitting there thinking, how in the world? But you know, I guess somewhere along the way in that message that the Holy Spirit made it apparent to that man that, you know, I'm not talking about giving your money. I'm talking about giving your life to Christ. You know what I mean? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. And when you think about a preacher standing in the pulpit preaching to a congregation, isn't it an amazing thing? You know, you pray and you study and you prepare to the best of your ability. And then when you come to God's house, you stand in this pulpit and you've got one message. And according to that, to the Bible, that one message is to feed everybody on every level. I'm talking kindergartners until the oldest saint. Now, I want to ask you something, preacher. How can you do that? Well, here's the answer. You can't.
Amen.
You can't. But isn't it amazing how the Holy Spirit can take that message and just feed people's hearts on every level? I mean, this person's going through a divorce. This person's lost a loved one. You know what I mean? This person's got financial issues. And it's amazing how He can take that one message and just feed everyone. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul said, I preached it simply. He said, but it was with power. And they were proof of that. You're talking about an ungodly city. I mean, you had the Temple of Venus, you had the Temple of Aphrodite, and you had all those prostitutes, you know, that worked there. And even the culture of Corinth was, I mean, even to be a Corinthian was a bad word. I mean, these were immoral people, and they had, sexual relations with all of these, priests or priestesses there in the temples. And my goodness, we look at our world today and we think, it's the worst it's ever been. No, it's not. No, it's not. They had it rough too. But isn't it amazing how the power of the gospel can just go cut right through the heart of that? You know, don't be intimidated by Satan. Don't allow him to intimidate wherever you are and you think, oh my goodness, Satan's got the upper hand. Friend, I want to tell you something. Satan's powerful, but he's not all powerful.
Amen.
Amen? God is. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and His righteousness. That's what Paul's saying. You know? Thirdly, I want you to see very quickly the preacher's purpose. Not only do you see the passion and the power here, but there's a purpose to this. He says in verse 5 that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Can I submit to you this morning that it's the object of your faith that's all important? That's what's important. It's not so much your faith as it is the object of your faith. A small faith in the right object is better than a large faith in the wrong object. Would you agree? He says, and the whole purpose of this is that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. You see, it's not your faith that's the crucial factor. It's the object of your faith. By the way, the Bible says that God has given to every man a measure of faith. Okay? He's given all a measure of faith. But you got to be careful that your faith is resting on Jesus Christ, not upon some man, not upon some church, not upon some denomination, not upon some religion. Friend, we don't need more religion in our country. Religion is sending people to hell. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the whole purpose of it being preached simply and with the power of the Holy Spirit, is that people might be saved and their faith may grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. Be sure that your faith... You know, I hear a lot of times, and I've been guilty of saying it myself. You know, someone's going through a trial or trouble in their life, and you say, well, brother or sister, you just got to have faith. And that's where we stop. Can I tell you, don't ever stop with that statement. You don't have faith in faith. That's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible says, have faith in God. Have your faith must have an object. That's the purpose of preaching. It is to bring us, what? In the unity of the faith. Well, a steadfast faith. That's what preaching, that's the whole purpose of this. That's why we preach, that people might be saved, people might grow in their faith. Paul said, you know, I was a weak vessel when I came to you. And he probably didn't share all that with them at the time, but he is here. And he's saying, but you know, when I am weak, then am I strong. And that Corinthians just proves that. And I believe today when we preach God's Word, when we minister God's Word on whatever level that is, it's so easy to be intimidated by the world and all of that. But I'll tell you, friend, if your faith is resting on the Lord Jesus Christ and in the power of His Spirit, it is amazing the power that you hold in your hands. It's just an amazing thing. And what's just blows my mind about Paul, as educated as he was, as brilliant as he was, when he stood before governors and kings, you know what he told them? Let me tell you how I got saved. You know? Because, a person may argue doctrine. Doctrine's important. It's imperative. They may argue doctrine. But listen, friend, they can't argue a personal testimony. Because that's personal. You know what I mean? And that's why Paul says so many times, let me tell you what happened on the Damascus Road. And I'm telling you, friend, just by sharing that testimony, the Bible says there were those who trembled. Wow. Him and his brilliance? No. The power of a gospel witness. The power of a gospel witness. Friend, let's just all today make sure that we're in the Word. We're filled with the Spirit. We're walking in the Spirit. We're sharing the Word of God simply and through the power of the Holy Spirit. And let God do His work. Amen. Through a clean vessel, let God do His work. You'll be amazed at what God will do in your life, through your life, when you approach it the way Paul approached it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we come before You today. We're so thankful for Your goodness, Your grace, Your mercy in our life. Thank You for the gospel, Lord, that we know that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. He was buried and He was raised again. The good news, the euangelion there in the language, Lord, of just the good news of the gospel of Jesus. Help us to share this message with boldness. Not in pride, but in boldness. Father, help us to be a better witness for You. Myself personally, help me. Through the intimidation of the world and the devil and the flesh. And Lord, we just got so many enemies against us today. But Lord, if You're for us, who can be against us? Help us take this message to a lost and dying world. I pray for these pastors. I pray for these missionaries. I pray for these church workers and church leaders that are here today. And Lord, I just pray that You would use us to help send revival to Your people. And Lord, that we'd just be clean vessels before You. And Lord, may others see Christ in our life. And we'll give You all honor and glory. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.
Let's all stand. If you're here today and you're not saved and you're just playing the game, there's an opportunity for you to be saved. But for us preachers, let us seek the Lord for the power of God.
Savior, say, Thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me Thine all in all. Jesus paid it all. A crimson stain, He washed it white as snow. Lord, now indeed I find Thy power and Thine alone can change the leper's spot.
Our Father and our God, we are thankful for the message, the messages, and the messengers we've heard from today. Father, thank You. Stir us, Father. Stir us from our concerns. Stir us, God, from our complacency. Stir us, God, and give us a new passion, a renewed passion, Father, for the powers of You. Show us what you can do, God, and we'll praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.